to each of you again tonight. It is good to be here with you on a Friday night. I don't know, there's a lot of things we could do on a Friday night. I'm guessing there's a lot of different opportunities for us. But I'm going to say that you did the right thing. You made it a priority to be here tonight, not because I'm here, but because God is here. And I believe God wants to speak to us tonight again through His Word. As I observed coming in the door here, I see you have a map on the wall, and it's really fascinating to me. I'm not sure who put that together, but they did a wonderful job. You can see the countries of the world there, a lot of good handiwork in making that map. And as I think about when I look at that map, I'm reminded that, you know, there's a lot of people that serve the Lord here in Lancaster County. There's a lot of people that serve the Lord in the state of Pennsylvania. There's a lot of people that serve the Lord in the country of America. And you go even beyond that, there's a lot of people that serve the Lord in other countries, other cultures, and other lands. And I'm certain that each person that serves the Lord in each place, whether it's right here in your hometown, or whether it's somewhere far around the world somewhere, each person has chosen to serve the Lord because God placed a call on their lives. And tonight I want to share a message that I've entitled The Call of God. And I want us to think together about the call of God. And I think we all need to consider it a privilege to know that God still calls people today. He calls each of us. And as we get to a certain age, the age of accountability, as young people, we hear God's voice calling, and He wants us to answer and to invite Him into our hearts. And then as we go on through life, after we've made that decision to answer that call, God continues to call us to different responsibilities, different jobs and chores and different opportunities that we have to serve God. And I want us to know tonight that whether God has called you to serve Him in Lititz or in Ephrata or in Denver or Salunga or McAllisterville or what other town might be represented here tonight, God has a job for us all. God has a call on our lives. And many times there are people, especially we think about young people sometimes, that wrestle with the question, what is God's call on my life? How do I know what God wants me to do? And sometimes as older people, we wonder, am I really where God wants me to be? Have I answered His call in a correct way? It's important to hear God's call and obey it, but we're not always sure what God's call is. Now, in case you're thinking tonight, well, okay, I'm glad I came. He's going to tell me what my call is. No, I'm not here qualified to do that. I can't tell you exactly what God is calling you to. God has a plan for you, and God's call is different for each one of us. Just because I do something doesn't necessarily mean that you need to do it, and vice versa. My goal for this evening is to give us some principles that help us to hear, to discern, and to obey God's call in our lives. And my prayer is that each of us can be encouraged to be sensitive to that call and to answer God's call when it comes to us. I want to say this evening that there is no substitute for being in the center of God's will. If you're there, you understand the peace that comes from knowing you are right where God wants you to be. The peace found there is the peace that passes understanding. For a text, for a message tonight, I want to go to an Old Testament setting. I would invite you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3. In this chapter, we have the call of God to Samuel. And it's a familiar account, and I'd like to look at some of the details surrounding this call and make some practical observations that apply to us today. So follow along as I read. I'm going to read the entire chapter. It gives us the story here of God's call on Samuel's life. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. As Samuel lay down until the morning, and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And Eli said, It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Seven observations that I see in these verses in this chapter tonight that I want us to look about, considering the call of God. The first thing that I want to notice is that the call of God came to Samuel when he was a child. Verse 1, the first three words lay out for us that fact. It says, and the child. The rest of this chapter occurs with this beginning fact. Samuel was a child, perhaps about 12 years old. We don't know exactly. But I believe that hearing, discerning, and obeying the call of God begins at an early age, as a child. It's important that children that are raised in a Christian home need to personally hear and answer God's call on their life. Just because your parents are Christians, have answered God's call, doesn't necessarily mean that you are a Christian, because each of us have to answer that call personally. Parents have a great deal of influence in teaching a young child to do just that, to hear God's call and to answer it. Sometimes it seems at a very young age, children sense God calling or nudging them in a certain direction. And I believe as parents and grandparents, we need to be especially careful not to discourage them. Time often will reveal if the call is real or imagined. Samuel was in a place where he was instructed in the ways of God by Eli, and he was at a very young age. David said in Psalm 63, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. Early in life, early in the day, as we talked about in our children's meeting, it needs to be a priority to seek God. Young people, tonight, be aware and alert for God's call early in life. Don't say, well, I'll listen for that call when I turn 18. Or maybe after I get out of high school, I can listen for God's call. No, the call of God comes on your life at an early age. Be listening for it. He speaks not just to adults, not just to grown-ups, but to young people and to youth too. The second thing that I notice in this account regarding the call of God is that the call of God came when God's word was precious and there was no open vision. When Samuel received God's call, there were no prophets who received direct messages from God. Different times later on in the Old Testament, there were prophets who heard directly from God the message that they should speak. But in this occasion, this was not the case. Occasionally, a man of God would receive a message from God on a certain special event or occurrence. But when people wanted to receive counsel from God's will, there was no one to go to. Therefore, a word from God was precious. They grasped onto that like we might grasp onto a gold nugget. There was no open vision either. God didn't reveal himself to anyone in particular. Revelations from God were not a common thing. At a time when least expected, yet greatly appreciated, God spoke to Samuel. God's timetable advances according to his schedule. The call of God on Samuel's life was an uncommon event and a precious treasure. Today, we are blessed to have God's word readily available to us. Do we consider his word precious? Do we spend time in his word? Do we make it a priority? Or is it something that we get to the end of the day, and if I have time, I'll maybe read a couple verses quick before I doze off to bed? Do we consider God's word precious to us? I believe God's call comes to us sometimes through his word. Perhaps we have such an easy access to God's word that we overlook his word as a source for his call. Amos 8, verse 11, talks about a time that God says that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, let's not take for granted the written word that we have access to. There are many people around the world who would dearly love to have a Bible to read and to study. Let's use our Bibles wisely and daily as we seek to hear from God. Let's remember that God's word is precious, and he does reveal himself to us today. The call of God comes sometimes as he reveals himself to us through Scripture. The third observation from this passage is that the call of God came when it was quiet. Verse 3 says, ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. Before morning, when the sun was not yet up, when the lights were turned out, when Samuel was asleep, God called Samuel when he could easily be heard. He wasn't competing with other noise or activity. God's still small voice could be heard in the early morning silence. That same still small voice that he used later on to speak to Elijah. Today, sometimes we desire to hear the call of God, but it may be difficult for us to get quiet enough to hear it. God speaks many times in a still small voice. So he can shout at us if he desires, but many times he speaks to us in a still small voice. And we want to hear the call of God, but he'll have to call loudly because we're so busy that we can't stop to wait to hear the still small voice. We fill our lives and our days full from morn till night with important things, with less important things, with things that drown out God's voice if we're not careful. And then we wonder, why is it that I don't hear God's call? How often is it quiet when you're going through your day? Our modern technology has made it even more and more difficult to be quiet. You may be, or I may be, sitting somewhere quiet, and suddenly someone found out that I'm sitting there. How did they find that out? Well, they called my cell phone, and I happened to have it in my pocket. And all of a sudden, the silence is not silent anymore. We need to be able to get away from the din of the world and spend some time in quietness before God. Our cell phones, our radios, people talking, there's just a constant barrage of noise attacking our ears. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 11, that we should study to be quiet. Study to be quiet. It's not a given. I think Paul understood it in the time before cell phones. It takes studying to learn how to be quiet. And he told Timothy in 1 Timothy 2, verse 2, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. There's a time to speak, and there's a time for noise and activity, but we need to also make time for quietness. I believe God can and does sometimes speak loudly, but most often I believe the call of God comes to us in our times of quietness before Him. But it's not just enough to be quiet. In addition to being quiet, we need to have our ears turned and tuned toward God. I find it interesting that Eli was in the same quiet place, and yet he never heard God calling Samuel. But Samuel did. Was it because Eli was an old man and was hard of hearing? Or could it be that Samuel was more in tune with God? He had a tender heart toward God. The fourth thing that I notice in these verses is that the call of God was aided by the discernment and instruction of an older person. Samuel heard the call of God as a young man, a young boy, and he mistook it to be Eli calling him. Three times he comes back to Eli and says, "Here am I. What did you want? You must have called me." But verse 7 says, "Samuel didn't yet know the Lord, nor was God's word revealed to him yet." How was Samuel supposed to know that it wasn't Eli calling? He needed someone to help him. Because of his persistence and insisting that someone was calling him, Eli finally realized, this must be real. There is someone calling Samuel. It's not me. Could it be the Lord? Eli didn't dismiss it as a dream. He didn't call Samuel foolish for having come to him three times, but he was patient with Samuel. And finally, he gave Samuel the advice to answer, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." What wise counsel to a young boy who was hearing God's call, and yet Eli didn't know exactly what that call was. Too often today, I believe young people, when they first hear the call of God, they think it's maybe just a man calling. When God calls through a sermon or through the reading of His Word, do we say, "Oh, it's just the preacher"? I believe it's important that we as parents, as teachers, as older adults, grandparents especially, you know, we sometimes think when we our empty nesters, we have our children out of our home, our responsibilities lessen up, and I want to challenge us that they get greater. As God brings in-laws and grandchildren into our homes, the schedules don't get slower, the responsibilities don't get less either. Let's remember to be available, to be willing to help, to give directions to children, to another young person that comes to us. We shouldn't make light of the call of God that they may be sensing on their lives, nor should we try or attempt to dismiss it. You see, as adults, especially influential adults in children's or young people's lives, we set the tone for them hearing the word and the call of God. If we put our focus entirely on earthly things and have little time for service for God, our children will learn that and they will follow our lead. On the other hand, if we teach our children to have a sensitive spirit to God's call, whether it might be a call to the mission field away from home or a call to serve Him at home where we live, our children will learn to listen for God's call. The role we play in helping them discern the call of God is so important, and I think it's important that we are aware of the importance of it. Even when the call of God may not be exactly what we want, we must be faithful to direct our children to hear that call. I've heard of parents who so much want their children to be close to them that when the child would have sensed a call to the mission field, there was a discouragement because we don't want you to go far away from us. We like having you close. We dare not try to extinguish or downplay the call of God in a person's life. Eli probably was struggling with the fact that God was speaking to Samuel, not him. Wasn't he the spiritual authority in Israel at that time? But he didn't take it as a direct threat. He still gave good direction, good instruction to Samuel regarding how he should answer the call of God in his life. When a young person comes to us questioning a possible call from God, I think it's important we pray for wisdom, for discernment, allowing for the reality that God calls through His Word, through pastors, through teachers, evangelists, and we need to give wise counsel. In Samuel's case, God called four times. Even if God calls only once, we dare not disregard it or dismiss it. Many times God's call is enhanced and aided by an older adult's kind and diligent assistance. The next observation I want to see in these verses is that a willingness to hear God's call is necessary. Look at what verse 10 says. We'll read that again. It says, "The Lord came and stood and called as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.'" And here it says, "Samuel answered, 'Speak, for thy servant heareth.'" There was a willingness there on Samuel's part to hear what God had to say. The fourth time that God called Samuel, it was different. He didn't just call Samuel, but it says first that the Lord came here in verse 10. The Lord came from another place. I don't know where it was. I can't explain all of that to us, but I believe it's important that God mentions in His Word that God came to where Samuel was. And it says then He stood. He lingered where Samuel was. There was a closeness there. God stopped there where Samuel was. And before God had called from a distance. I don't know, like I said, I don't know exactly where, but it would give the indication that God's call came from nearer this time. God came near to Samuel, and before God had only called his name. But now God appears to linger till he completed his call to Samuel. And he mentions his name twice, Samuel. And you can almost imagine with the second time, a more earnest call. Samuel, are you awake? Are you listening? It's possible that Samuel could have said, you know, I'm not sure I want to hear what God has to say. He may want me to do something that is a lot bigger than I'm willing to tackle. I may not be comfortable with what God's call might be, what His message might be. He might want me to go somewhere that I really have no interest in going. You see, Samuel had the choice to obey Eli's advice or to close his ears to God's call. It was up to Samuel, ultimately. But Samuel invited God to come and to speak because he was listening. He had a tender heart to what God wanted to say in his life. And God meant business this fourth time. He called Samuel's name twice, indicating he wanted Samuel's undivided attention. And Samuel had demonstrated his willingness to serve God by faithfully assisting Eli in the little jobs at the temple. But now God was rewarding him with a call to bigger responsibilities. And that's so often the way it happens. We sometimes wait for a big call from God. God, what do you want me to do? Who do you want me to marry? Where do you want me to live? What should I do as far as jobs? Maybe do you want me to go to the mission field? But you know, God starts with little things. God says, if you're faithful in those things that are little, then I will give you greater responsibilities. Each of us today are faced with the same choice that Samuel had way back then. Are we willing to hear God's call? Or will we close our ears and say, God, I know you might be calling, but I'm tired, I'm sleepy. I'm afraid of what you might be asking me to do. I'm too busy to hear right now. Do we say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth? Or do we say, just a minute, Lord, I got to finish this. Come back when I'm done and when I'm ready to hear, and I can give you my undivided attention. God wants to come to us and to stand near to us, to reveal His call to us, but only if we're willing to listen. I think we also need to be faithful in the little things before God reveals bigger callings on our life. We need to show faithfulness in the small things so that He will entrust greater responsibilities to us. It's the same way in our children's lives. You know, as we as parents see our children growing, we first give them small tasks appropriate for their age or their abilities. And then as they grow and as they demonstrate responsibility, we turn over more and more of those responsibilities to them, eventually saying, you know what? You know what needs done. You go do it. Because we have built up that trust in their responsibility and seeing how they handle little things first and then growing on to bigger things. I believe God views us the same way. As He calls us to something and we demonstrate a willingness to hear, it means that we're silent as we listen to the call of God and we invite God to speak to us. And God says, I've got a listening ear there and I'll come again just as I did the first time and I will call again just as He did to Samuel. The sixth thing that I see in this passage is that accepting and answering the call of God will include some difficult assignments. God's call on young Samuel's life was to be a prophet, but it began with a message that would cause the ears of everyone who heard it to tingle. Can you imagine being called by God to do something that would cause everyone's, or to say something that would cause everyone's ears to tingle? I think it would cause me to tremble. And yet, as we see, Samuel's first prophecy was the judgment on Eli's house. Eli, the prophet of Israel. And this young boy, Samuel, was called to prophesy judgment on his house. The Bible says that he lay until the morning. I doubt there was much sleep to be had in Samuel's life as he lay there, thinking about what God had just told him, thinking about what am I going to do with this? How am I going to tell Eli? Do I need to tell Eli? Maybe this is just something that I need to keep to myself. In fact, verse 15 tells us that Samuel feared to tell Eli what God had told him. But when God calls, he also enables, giving strength to do those things that seem difficult. Verse 18 in our text here tonight says that Samuel told Eli every whit, or every word, and he hid nothing from Eli. God gave Samuel the courage, the ability, the strength to deliver a difficult message to his master, Eli, to his friend, Eli, to his mentor, Eli. In some ways, Eli was the dad to Samuel that he didn't experience for many years because his mother had taken him, dedicated him to God's service there in the temple. And yet, this was his first assignment from God. When we accept and answer the call of God in our lives, we will undoubtedly be faced with some difficult assignments too. And I don't want us to be discouraged in that, to know that there may be some difficult things that happen, but I want us to be aware of that. There may be times when we are faced with a difficult or unappealing assignment. And you may wonder, I may wonder, why me, Lord? Why am I stuck with this? Why do you want me to do this? But again, I want to remind you, when God calls, he enables. With his strength, with his courage, you can accomplish what he has called you to. Just because we accept and answer the call of God doesn't mean life will be smooth, life will be easy from here on. But don't lose heart. Where God calls, he enables. Lean on him. Depend on him. Pray to him. Cry out to him. And we can faithfully carry out even the most difficult assignments and the aspects of God's call on our lives. Finally, tonight I want to look at the seventh thing that we see in these verses. And I want us to see here a blessing of answering the call of God. The answered call of God brings God's blessing and people's respect. Samuel experienced God's blessing in a number of ways. Verse 19 tells us that God was with him. The Lord was with him, it says. And it also says in verse 19 that the Lord did let none of his words fall to the ground. Basically, what the writer is saying here is that everything that Samuel would prophesy would come to pass because it was God speaking through him. Verse 21 says that the Lord revealed himself again to Samuel. You see, this wasn't just a one-time thing. As Samuel was open to hearing God's call, God came back to him again and revealed himself more to Samuel. Samuel experienced people's respect too. Verse 20 says that all Israel knew Samuel and that he was established to be a prophet of the Lord. I find it amazing that Samuel as a young boy was called, and then at the end of Samuel's ministry, after he had anointed King Saul, in spite of God's original plan for the people of Israel, Samuel didn't want to anoint a king, and God said, you go ahead and do that. I give you permission to do that. Samuel comes back to the people of Israel in his farewell speech, and he says, "You, I want you to think about all the things that I've done throughout my life. And let me know if I have wronged anyone, if I've mistreated anyone." And this is my paraphrase here, but he goes through his life and he says, "I want you to tell me if I've done something wrong." And there was not a word mentioned. You see, Samuel gained the respect of people because he answered God's call in his life. I'm sure he wasn't perfect, but he was faithful in answering God's call. Today, when we answer the call of God, we also experience God's blessing. God will be with us wherever we go. We must not forget that. Whether you serve Him in your hometown or another state or another country, God isn't limited by geographical boundaries or political boundaries. He goes wherever we go. God will continue to reveal His callings on our lives as well. When we answer one call, be sure that God may call again. And just because you heard one call doesn't mean, okay, I've got that done, check that box, move on. No, God more than likely will call again sometime in the future. Let's be listening for those calls. God will give us little moments and incidents that confirm and convince us that we are in His will. I'm convinced of that. God cares so much about us. Yes, there's going to be difficult times as we answer the call of God in our lives. But I have experienced it, I'm sure you have too, times when maybe in spite of difficulties, you have that little, sometimes we call them God moments, where God says, "Son, daughter, I want you to know you are right where I want you to be." And we feel that peace. There's no substitute for that. I want us to be aware tonight that when difficult times arise, and God will call us sometimes to difficult things, He will reveal more of His will to us as we answer the call and as we follow where He leads. There will be times when you are convinced in your heart, "I know I'm where God wants me to be." Grasp a hold of those times and hang on for dear life, because the devil wants nothing more than to question you and say, "Are you sure God really wants you here? Are you sure that you're doing what God wants you to do?" People will also respect us as we answer the call of God. Doesn't mean they'll always understand. Doesn't mean they'll always agree. But I believe as we are faithful to answering God's call, and as they see God at work in our lives and through us, as we're available to Him, people will have a growing sense of respect for our faithfulness in serving God. I hope and pray that these 7 observations from the call of God on Samuel's life can be an encouragement to us tonight. We all need to be alert for the call of God. But I especially want to encourage you young people, don't just think, "Well, when I get older, I need to be thinking about what God's calling me to." God calls early in life. Be listening. Allow for quiet time when God can speak to you. Answer the call that He has, because I believe He has great things in store for each of us as we hear Him, as we answer His call on our lives. Tonight, I'm not going to give an invitation, but as we close in prayer tonight, maybe there's something that in your heart you know God has been calling, and you hear that phone ringing and you say, "I can't answer it now. I don't want to talk." And maybe tonight in this message you've heard and been challenged to, as it were, pick up the phone and say, "God, I'm listening. Speak, Lord, for your servant heareth." I don't know what that call may be. You do. and God does. And so it's between you and the Lord tonight. And as we pray, I'm going to just be quiet for a little while and allow you to, in your heart, talk to God. And if there's a specific call in your life, to answer it. And if nothing else, at least be willing to say, Lord, speak, because your servant is listening. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, tonight, in this moment, we quiet our hearts before you. And we want to hear from you. Lord, speak to us. We want to hear from you. We acknowledge that your call comes to us in various ways and various responsibilities. Thank you, Lord, first of all, for the call that you place on our lives to accept your plan of salvation. Thank you, Lord, for adopting us into your family. Thank you that we can call you our Father. Thank you that we can experience the blessing of being your child. And Lord, as you place additional calls on our lives, help us to hear amidst the noise of the world around us. Help us to block out times of quietness just to hear from you. Lord, when you place a call in our lives and we answer that call, give us wisdom, give us courage, give us strength to fulfill the responsibilities, to answer the call, even when it may be things that are not necessarily easy on our own strength. Help us to depend on you and to come to you often. Lord, for those of us in places of responsibility as parents or older adults, help us to also to be an encouragement, a safe place for our young people to come when they may be sensing a call from you. May we not discourage them. May we not extinguish the flame that your Spirit wants to burn brightly in those young lives. Father, I thank you for the faithful brothers and sisters here at Word of Life. I pray that as they answer the call that you've placed on their lives, that they would be a bright and shining testimony to their homes, to the places that they work, their communities, the people that they meet each day. Thank you for this opportunity we have to worship together. Lord, as we go from here, we pray your care and keeping upon us according to your will. Lord, in each day that you give us, may we be faithful to answer your call and to serve you in the places that you place us. Dismiss us now with your blessing and your peace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.